Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. I am Phil Taylor, the host. With me is Phil Connon, who's working busily. We got a bunch of stuff for you today. So how you doing, Phil?
Good afternoon, Phil.
Okay.
Hope I'm always working busily.
Yes, stay busy. Yeah. That's it. The devil finds work for idle hands. We have a lot of things to talk about, but I think first of all we're going to have a little bit of music to get us into this. This is from the Syrian Arab Army. We're back. That was music from the Syrian Arab Army. We wanted to start with that because significant developments have happened, and we're not going to let them go by unremarked. That is to say, the Syrian Army has captured the most important city in eastern Syria that had been occupied for 3 years by mercenaries paid by Saudi Arabia and aided and abetted by Turkey, the United States most principally, and they had these killers who had occupied Deir ez-Zor, pardon the pronunciation, were known for being sectarian and extremely violent, and they've been conquered by the Republican Army of Syria, which has defended all faith groups and has guaranteed the sovereignty, fought for the sovereignty of Syria. That battle continues, but this is a major victory. In that battle, there is questions, and we will be asking various guests in the future, not today, but we'll be talking to people who know about what the great powers are planning to do, hoping to do. Certainly the United States was holding out for the possibility, and we know that their ultimate plan is to break Syria into pieces. And Deir ez-Zor was a major part of that plan. That's right at the Euphrates River. Now we have the issue is east and north of the Euphrates, where this battle took place. And let's just remind ourselves of the simple facts. Syria is a sovereign country. It is a member of the United Nations. It has a nationalist government which won independence from France. It has its borders that are known. Part of those borders have been violated and occupied by the State of Israel. It has always stood for the independence, liberty of Palestine. And it has, of course, exercised its right as a sovereign country to make alliances with whom it pleases. And fortunately, in this case, they have in Russia and in Iran, two countries that rallied to them and answered the call for assistance, since they were being invaded from every direction by mercenaries for the most part, but also there are U.S. forces on the ground. There are some British, although we understand they've withdrawn into Jordan. By the way, nobody told us they were not in Jordan until they withdrew to Jordan. They were said to be in Jordan training people. We have Canadians who allegedly training people. And that is, of course, kind of a local joke because, if, for example, in the case of northern Iraq, where all Canadian trainers are, you are talking about Kurdish elements that have been fighting since anybody can remember. And the idea that they would need trainers is a little backward. If somebody wanted to go and get trained, that would seem like a good idea. But the idea that somebody went to Kingston War College and can go and fly to Iraq and instruct someone else is, as I said, that should be a local joke. But we really have to congratulate the people of Syria, the army of Syria, the government of Syria, and the president of Syria for withstanding such an assault which began in 2011 and which has been one long lie about how it was a revolt and a civil war. It never was. Never was. And the people in the elements who took up arms are the most despicable types. And the United States, remember that the United States in 2013 was going to invade, if you don't recall. Barack Obama was practically counting down the hours to a heavy assault on Syria. And in the name of overthrowing, destroying the government, the legal government of Syria, he was going to do that. And a couple of things happened that caused it Barack to rethink himself. The most important one was that the Russian government indicated that they were not going to countenance that. There would be no vote at the United Nations for a no-fly zone, silly. What they meant is a NATO fly zone. There would be no legal basis for it. And secondly, the British Parliament said, we're not entirely crazy. We're not in favor, despite the fact the Prime Minister was. You want to date the hours when the Conservative government began to fall. You might go to that moment because they wanted to do it. But the British Parliament told them no. So those were the plans. Then they took a deep breath, counted to 10, that is, let a few months go by. And then suddenly Barack Obama, who had been wanting to attack Damascus and destroy the government of Syria, that was his plan, says that he's concerned about terrorists. And he's decided that the terrorists are in Syria and that it's America has to go into Syria without the permission of the Syrian government and or anybody else's permission, UN, in the name of self-defense, and to begin to bomb and attack people inside Syria, claiming they're fighting, now they're fighting terrorists. Anybody could see what that was. A child could see it, but we all were told to go. We had to play along. So the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, the New York Times, the Washington Post all play like they forgot that 6 months ago we were going to attack directly the government of Syria. Now we decided the front door seems to be blocked, so they decided to go through the window. And they got themselves halfway in. But then another thing happened. the Russian government answered the call of the Syrian government for air support. And they got air support. And so that's full credit to the government of Russia for answering the call of a sovereign country for assistance in defending itself against foreign aggression. Of course, we now are in a jackpot in a sense that there's a lot of dangerous elements flying around. The U.S. is still flying occasionally over parts of Syria, and we don't know their intentions in eastern Syria. Israel has, as they always do in these things, whenever the Syrian government shows any success, they always try to remind everybody who the biggest guy in the neighborhood is. So they did a low flight over southern Lebanon the other day. And this led to an embarrassing matter. I refer you to the Angry Arab, an excellent, humorous, brilliant website with whom I like to say I don't agree. But it's a good website. And he pointed out that a woman named Fry. We'll get that for you. Sly. Well, why wouldn't it obviously be Sly, Phil, for crying out loud, Sly? That's all you need to know. So Liz Sly, she told her readers, and she either writes for the Washington Post, the New York Times, but none of us need to, you know, care which one it is, since it's like an echo chamber. So Liz Sly reported, for the first time since 2007, Israeli warplanes flew over southern Lebanon and made a boom, you know, it broke the sound barrier at low altitude. So he said, well, Liz Sly left out thousands of other flights since 2007. They've been doing this. And so she actually had to correct herself. She actually had to back down. And she said, well, it's the first time that they've flown that low. And, of course, I think the answer is, oh, they've flown lower. I mean, you can bet they've flown lower. But in other words, everyone in the region is acting up. And so it's still extremely dangerous neighborhood. But the most important matter for those who do respect international law and the United Nations and sovereignty of nations, and particularly those sovereignty of countries who exercise their right not to obey in orders from Washington. That's the crime committed, as Steve Gowans and Eva Bartlett and others have told the Taylor Report. The crime of crimes is saying no when Washington gives you an order. So they've exercised that right. So this victory at Deir ez-Zor is, we're going to say it again, it's very important, and we're going to mark it, and we're glad to have been able to play you some of the Syrian Arab Army. We have a little more music, and we're going to, and this is the Taylor Report, CIUT. Oh, by the way, let's get right to this. Phil, you have an announcement from
a different book list. And listen, this is an important announcement because a lot of money is being mooted about.
Break out your checkbooks.
Yeah, please. Everyone get their checkbooks
out. Do people still have checkbooks? Anyway,
I have one. I even write a check now and then, and I hope it doesn't bounce. On this coming Sunday from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., there will be an online
streamathon.
Streamathon. That's a new word. It's a fundraising campaign for a different book list and cultural center, which is now the new name of the organization, at 779 Bathurst Street. And the goal is to raise $300,000 in the 15 hours they're going to be on air from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And the ultimate goal is $2 million. But they're only very modestly requesting $300,000 this coming Sunday. And you can go to the websites ADBCC, a different book list cultural center.org, or a different book list cultural center.com. And the tax receipts will be provided by Urban Alliance on Race Relations through a link that will be provided. And it's very important when you donate the money that you specify it's for a different book list cultural center. So that is this Sunday between 7 to 10. That's the official streamathon. But you're urged, you can go anytime, and they'll take your money even before 7 a.m. on Sunday.
And again, go to where?
Go to AD. ADBCC.org. That's that stands for a different book list cultural center.org. ADBCC.org or a different book list cultural center.com.
All right. Thank you, Phil. And we're going to take this little break. We'll come back.